We're doing the book of Yov, and we're nearing the end of the last person's speech, Elihu ben Barachel. And he's been quiet all this time. We have a lot of new faces, so we'll recount what's happened so far. We began the book of Yov, where God points out how great Yov is, what a fine person he is. And Satan comes before God and says, sure he's good. You've given him everything good in life. Why don't you take it away from him and then you'll see how he'll blaspheme. And so God says, no, he won't. But go ahead, you try and you'll see. Just don't hurt him. And so Satan takes away all his wealth and his children and everything. And they meet again a year later. And God says, you see, you just aroused their wrath against Eo for nothing. You aroused this destruction for Job. And look, he's still such a fine person. And Satan says, yeah, because you've taken everything around him, but you haven't hurt him. Try hurting him and see if he stands up to all his good. And God says, okay, you could give him everything you got, just don't kill him. And then Satan makes Eo have every type of disease under the planet. And Eov is suffering tremendously. And the rest of the book describes the conversations between Job and his friend, where Job says, God cannot be running the show down here because I don't deserve all of this. And if I'm suffering like this, obviously God is not running the show. And to say that God is running the show would be blaspheming because then why am I suffering like this? So then one friend tries to tell him, well, you must have sinned. And another friend tries to tell him, your kids must have sinned. And a third friend tries to tell him, you should have done better. And there are always areas of imperfection. And a fourth friend tries to tell him, who do you think you are? Just talking about God like that automatically means you deserve punishment. And every friend tries to explain to him why he deserves it. And every time Eov refutes their claims and walks away saying, no, I don't deserve it. No, I did not do anything bad. I did not do anything to deserve it. And we kept pointing out throughout the book that the introduction of the book backs Eov. Because the book begins by telling us that God said Eov doesn't deserve anything bad. God said Eov is a fine person. He is the finest specimen down there. And the beginning of the book really gives us an insight as to the answer of why Eov has to suffer. The beginning of the book starts off with a description that there is an angel up in heaven called Satan. And Satan can get a guy to suffer, even though the guy's been leading a perfect life. Eov's been doing everything right. Now, how that works philosophically is a good question. That's what Eov doesn't understand. And in these last claims, what Elihu ben Barachel has been doing is he's been pointing out to Eov how Eov himself knows that there are certain things in world history that point to the fact that God is running the show. And he's pointing out to Eov that there are different areas of nature that Eov cannot figure out. And if it were all a question of the constellations, then we should be able to forecast everything if we could just figure out enough about the constellations. And so Elihu ben Barachel has been working up this argument, and he's telling Eov, why do you think you understand God? There are so many areas of nature that you don't understand and cannot forecast. And the last point that Elihu ben Barachel has been talking about is the weather. He says, can you forecast when it's going to rain and when it won't rain? There are simple things in life that you don't know how to forecast. So why do you think you could figure out God's ways when it comes to God's justice system? Yeah.
Is this a midrash or is this a real story?
So we discussed in the beginning that it's a machlokas in Chazal, whether this ever happened or this is a story that was written possibly by Moshe Rabbeinu but never really occurred.
Wasn't Eov Edomite? Eov and his friends?
One understanding is that he was Jewish in the period of the Shoftim. One understanding says he was Aramean. He was in the period of Avraham Avinu.
Yeah.
And there are different understandings in the Gemara when exactly he lived. The Gemara has one understanding that says it never happened. The whole story never happened, but the message is still true. It's still part of the prophets. Just like the book of Jonah, one interpretation is that that never happened either. And just like the book of Hosea, where Chazal have a discussion, did Hosea really marry a prostitute, or it was all a prophecy? Okay.
We never come to conclusions. Like, if it's just like a medrash that's like small, whatever, someone says it, fine. But like when it's coming to something that's being included in the Tanakh, which is like serious business, I don't know how.
Well, the message is the same.
The message, right? But the messages are told throughout in many things. So I'm saying, why put it in the Tanakh? I mean, they were even questioning putting in Kohelis for other reasons, and like, this is Shlomo Melch. He's just saying it's contradictory what he's saying.
Let's
I'm
leave
saying.
That for later tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on Eov. So Eov, it's his friend Elihu ben Barachel had said in Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Im neshevet im nartzoim nechesed yamtziyehu." He says Hashem sometimes can make the rain a punishment, sometimes Hashem can make the rain a blessing for a country. You can't forecast what type of rain is going to come down. Hazina zot Eov. We're up to Pasuk Yud Dalid. You guys have the place?
Yep.
And what we were doing was reading the Pesukim with ancient trop, the ancient Sparadi trop, which is unique for Eov Mishlei and Teilim, called Tamei Emet. And we'll continue that way. And he says, Ha'azin azot Eov. Listen here, Eov. Amod v'itbonen nifleot el. I want you to stand and take note of the wondrous things that God is doing. When he says, I want you to stand, he's telling Eov, shut up. He's saying, stop talking so much. Take a look at what's around you. He says to Eov, take a note of all the wonders that God does in the world. Don't assume that everything is in the hands of nature. If you just look at the world, you realize it's not that way. Hateida besum eloa aleihem veofi haor anano. Do you know when God fills the clouds with water? Do you know when God makes the cloud give its light, so to speak, the cloud gives its rain? Can you forecast that? Do you know which clouds will rain, won't rain? No one knows. How many times do the forecasters say it's going to be a rainy day tomorrow and nothing comes? And that's today with satellites. Hateida al mifle sheyav mifleot temim deim. So do you really suppose to know the knowledge of he who is above the clouds? Do you really think you know the wondrous deeds of he whose knowledge is whole? Temim deim. It's a description of God. His knowledge is whole. You don't understand the cloud, but you think you understand what's above the cloud? Asher bigadecha chamim bashkit eretz midarom. Did you notice your clothes are warmer when you're in the southern hemisphere, when you're in an area, when the earth is in an area where there are no winds, suddenly you're in the sun and it's warmer? Why is it that it works that way? We always understand the external functions. We can understand how heat works. We understand why this clothing has this much heat and that clothing gives that much heat, how much it retains heat. Right, but do you understand the reasoning behind what's going on? Do you really understand why things work in nature? Talkia imo lishchakim chazakim kir'i mutzak. Pasuk Yudchet. He says, Talkia imo. Did you join God in forming the heavens, lishchakim, spread them out throughout the distances? Chazakim kirim mutzak, God made the heavens as strong as a solid mirror that women have made of solid metal. So he says, were you partner in all that? Hodienu mano marlo. Eov, you keep asking for a confrontation with God. One of the things Eov kept saying was, I wish we could have it out, God, because I know I would come out victorious. If we could only have a fair judge between you and me, I know I'd be right. So Elihu takes Eov up and he says, let me take you up on your challenge. Hodienu, let us know, we're your friends. If you were to come in to court, so to speak, with God, what should we say on your behalf? Hodienu, tell us, manoma lo. What should we be telling God? He says, we'd also argue for your sake. But tell us, what would you say? Lo na'aroch mipenei choshech. But the truth is that when we stand versus God's knowledge, we have to understand that we're standing in the dark. You assume you understand everything. You assume that you have all the cards before you. You've led a just life. You know how everything should work. And in accordance with the life you've led, then you don't deserve to be suffering like that. Well, wait a second, Eov. Who said the system you imagine is the system of the world? That's what you think is fair for the world to run. And the truth is that Elihu is touching on a point, which is the key point over here. We don't understand. Abraham is told, take your son and slaughter him. You think Avraham Avinu had an understanding? Why did God do this to me? What answer does Avraham give to himself? if Avraham Avinu reaches the point where he questions God and he says, why is God doing this to me? Then he does not have an answer. We don't know why. What can Avraham Avinu say? What does he know? Why is God doing this? Avraham Avinu thinks the whole way to the binding that he's going to slaughter his son. And Avraham Avinu has to, if he's going to ask the question, he has to tell himself, well, the future of monotheism, the future of a Jewish people, the future of everything I've worked on and God wants in this world, it's all going to go down the tubes. So if he's going to start asking the question, he's not going to have answers. The truth is, we know today that till today, every Rosh Hashanah, we have zichonot, we mention the merits, and that dedication that Avraham had, that he went up that mountaintop, that's what keeps saving the Jewish people. The exact opposite. But Avraham didn't know that when he was walking forward. The key to living life over here is being able to live with God, being able to live an observant lifestyle when we're still going to have questions. And we have to know that some of the answers are you don't know. Meaning, once I've worked out the whole system, I understand God created the world, I understand He runs the world, and I understand what He wants of me. If I'm going to take the next step and say, but why? And why am I suffering if I did what's right? And why is this fear? And why are children born with handicaps? And why are children born where they're mamzerim and they're bastards and they can't marry legally? And why? I have a lot of questions about why. Why are there little children with cancer in the hospital? I don't have an answer. What'd they ever do wrong? What answer are you going to give? So Elihu ben Barachel says to God, he says to Eov, he says, I'm willing to take your case versus God. But what do you want me to say? Do you understand anything about how God runs His world? Is it, you really think we have something to say when we come to the justice system? And the truth is that according to Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't have an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu also said, God, you know, I look at the world, I don't really understand. And Moshe Rabbeinu describes it as, Hodieni na et derachecha ve'eida'acha. What does ve'eida'acha mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, explain to me your ways, so I will know you. What does to know mean in Tanakh? So I will be more intimately connected to you. Meaning there's an element of distance. How can I connect when I don't understand? Meaning, so there is an element where this gets in the way. And Moshe Rabbeinu also says, God, I know I have prophecy. I know you run the world. But I still feel like I could connect better if I understood this. So there's an element where we're not all the way there. You guys with me? And if we think about it, that's part of what we say in davening. V'yached levavenu. We say, Hashem, make our heart singular. What does it mean to make our heart singular? It means that when we try to connect to Hashem, it's not singular. I'm trying to connect, but there are areas of doubt, there are areas of question, there are areas where it's not flowing smoothly. It's not a direct connection the way I would want it. And we say, V'yached levavenu la'ava ulira et shemecha. Just before Shema, we say, please. I'm saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lokeinu Hashem Echad. And at the same time, I'm asking you, Hashem, help me. Help me. I know I'm saying it. I know I accept it on a certain level. And I also know that I want you to help me so that my heart will be singular in this. And that's not easy. There are levels in that. And there are questions in that. And Elihu ben Barachel over here, if you'll notice, he's not answering Eov per se. He's more refuting Eov's question than he is answering his question. He's saying, your question presupposes that you understand. And on a different level, that's what God is going to answer Eov. God is going to keep throwing questions at Eov. He's going to say, let me tell you a little bit about this world I created. That's the next chapter. And let me tell you about how much you don't understand, which is, on a lower level, that's what Elihu has been saying. Elihu keeps telling Eov, do you really think you understand? Do you really think God has to fit His justice system into your system? That's not an answer. It's a refutation of the question. You guys following? There's a big difference between what's going on here. Meaning, if we started the book of Eov hoping that we're going to walk away with an answer, we haven't heard it yet. Elihu hasn't answered. He's refuted the question. Haisupar lo ki adaber. Do you think I have to tell God something He doesn't know, and that's why I should speak, Eov? Haisupar lo. Am I going to tell Him something He doesn't know? ki adaber, and that's why I should be talking. I'm willing to set your case before God, but explain to me what you're going to tell me, going to tell him that he doesn't already know. Amar ish ki yivula. Can a person say something that God overlooked, that God missed? Ve'ata. And so now, Iyov, he's coming to conclude his words, Elihu ben Barachel. He says, so let me sum it up. Lo ra'u o. Sometimes you have people who didn't see the light of the sun. Bahir hu bashechakim. And even though in certain areas the sun might be shining bright, but sometimes a person is standing in an area where it's cloudy and he doesn't see the sun. Deruach avera vatetarim. But then a wind can pass, and the wind can clear the clouds, and then everyone sees the sun. Mitzafon zahav yete. And if the sun that's visible by all is suddenly missing, so then he says, if the sun, it's something that we all see, and yet clouds can cover it, so then how can we take out of the heart knowledge that is going to be purified? Let's let him finish his thought. Mitzafon, from that which is hidden. Zahav yete. Do you really think you could take out purified gold, meaning purified thought? Aleloha norahod. Do you think you can have purified thoughts about God, who is so exalted beyond our understanding? He says, take something simple like the sun. Can you perceive it at every moment? No. There are times that it's covered with clouds, and then the clouds move, and then you could see it, and then you can't see it. So things that you perceive, you're limited in your perception of them. Then do you really think that about God, who is beyond your perception, your heart can emanate, can emit purified gold, so to speak? You can really understand God. You could get everything down pat about the system and how God should run the world, and how God does run the world, and what's fair and what's not fair. Do you really think that's fair? Again, notice he's not answering. Notice, his point is, you don't understand. Okay, Eov said I don't understand, but Eov said if I don't understand and it doesn't make sense to me, then God can't be in the picture. Must be everything's left to the stars. Must be everything's left to mazel, to luck. It's left to other things. God can't be in the picture. Elihu says, wait, you don't understand, that's true. The conclusion you want to reach because you don't understand, that's not true. Shaddai lo mitzanuhu sagichoach. It's true that we don't necessarily perceive God's tremendous strength, but we do know He has tremendous strength, right? Umishpat verov tzedakah lo ye'aneh. God doesn't at random afflict a person. So, mishpat verov tzedakah, we know that God has great might, and he does things with justice, and he is kind, and he won't harm a person for nothing. There has to be something that God is paying a person back for, and on this point we're not sure that Elihu is hitting the nail on the head, because Elihu is again slipping into the role of his predecessors, alluding to Eov, maybe you do deserve this, and on that it seems to be the book does not agree with him. It seems to be God doesn't agree with him. But he's saying a different point, which is valid. He says, it's true that we don't always understand God's great might. You see a guy, you see 6 million people being killed in a concentration camp, you say, wait a second, if you split the Red Sea, you've brought 10 plagues on the Egyptians, don't you think you should interfere here a little bit? You know, babies are being murdered, it would make sense to us, God, this is a good time to show up. You did it for the Jews in Egypt, isn't this a good time? And we don't see it. So Elihu says, Shaddai lo mitzanu sagichoach. We don't always find God showing his great might. That's true. And nonetheless, we know, Mishpat Berov Tzedakah, he's about justice and great kindness, and Lo Yanen, he doesn't do things that are unfair. Lachen Yireyu Anashim, being that he is just. That's why people fear him. They don't rebel against him. Lo Yireh Kol Chachmei Lev. And Elihu finishes his speech, and this is the end of really the human speech in the book of Job. He says, even the wise people, they aren't special before God. He doesn't say, they're extra wise, so I'm going to treat them differently in justice. I'll lean the case in their favor. No, lo yireh. God doesn't see things in a slanted way. God is just, and he doesn't show favoritism even to the Chachmei Lev, to the wise people. Okay, so let's summarize. What did he say? God is watching over everything. There's a Shgacha Pratit. God looks at the details as well. And God discerns between the wicked and the good, the evil and the good that comes to the world. And sometimes bad things happen to a righteous person. That's because God is watching over him, and God is trying to teach him a lesson that he's not exactly as perfect as he should be. And he's basically telling Eov, you also have to understand that if you've been suffering, there's a message here for you, that you have to better perfect yourself. You have to do tshuva. And then, even if you're suffering now, in the world to come, things will be better, and things will be good for you. If you'd only, if things would continue being pleasant for you, you wouldn't live up to your potential. Whenever things are good, a person tends to slip. And so God is sending you a reminder. And so you have to remember, look at what happened to the generation of the flood. They had it good, and that's why they lost everything. And so he's rebuking Eov, and he says, you should be subservient to God. Everything's in God's hand. And that which you claim, God can't be watching over the world, well, God is watching over the world. If he created our capacity to see, then obviously he sees. And look at his wondrous things, and from them you could recognize that he is watching over the world. You see, he intervenes sometimes. Obviously, he's watching over the world. And furthermore, he says, you know, you keep saying, I wish I could talk to God. I'd have a thing or two to tell him. Come on, what do you think you're saying? He's basically telling Eov, you should accept that God knows what he's doing. And this is fair and just, and you just don't understand. He didn't really answer, and he repeated some of the mistakes of his predecessors. And this leads us to the final point of the book of Job, God's answer. I'm with you. Do you guys mind if I shut the fan?
Sure.
Yes. Go ahead.
You always say that there's nothing that you could do wrong.
The Gemara says we don't hold a person for what he says in a time of pain.
Where do we draw the line? Where do we define when it's okay to continue to question, or that it's something that's out of the realm of questioning? Meaning that certain things are like, people don't question the Shoah. Like, we're not supposed to, like, there's certain things like why a baby has cancer, Lorelano, things like that are not supposed to be like questioned. We're supposed to say, like, there's different explanations that the post can give or whatever, but that's not like something that we're really supposed to delve into. But other things we're supposed to question. So, like, I don't understand how we're supposed to define, like, okay, this is a chok, this is just something from Hashem, or like that we don't know, or we should investigate more for our own self-knowledge, for us to, you know, try to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
I think that you could always ask, and sometimes the answer is going to be one way, and sometimes the answer is going to be, we don't understand God's ways. On the question of of why the righteous sometimes have it bad and why the wicked sometimes have it good. Well, that's what this book is all about. And on one level, we don't understand. And on another level, maybe we do understand. Let's see what God has to say. Let's see.
I understand what you mean, what God has to say.
That's what we're up to. That's the next chapter. God is going to answer you. So let's hear.
Who wrote the book, I'm saying?
A prophet wrote the book, whether it was Moshe or whether it was Avraham Avinu or whether it was. Let's see.
Okay, so you said earlier, are you going to bring up something that God doesn't know? But at the very beginning of the book, at least in the linear sequence that's given between his conversation with Satan, that sequence, it's given, he goes, Eeyore isn't going to mess up. Go ahead and do your worst. And then, at the end, Eeyore does wind up messing up, and he loses, we were going to mention with the patriarchs all this. So that means that God knew he was going to do it, and has Satan beat him up anyway, and just so that he can mess up? That doesn't seem very nice.
I didn't follow. Let's start again.
Do you think you're gonna bring something up to Hashem that he doesn't know?
Right.
Okay, but at the beginning, Hashem says, "Satan, you're not gonna get Eeyore."
Where does it say that?
Didn't you?
Wait, that's not what I said.
It's not what he said.
No.
What does he say?
God says,
"Look, he's not."
God begins by saying, "Have you noticed what a pious person Eeyore is? He's whole, he's honest, he's fearful of God, he keeps away from doing any bad. And look, after the first set of punishments." God says, well, look at how faithful he still is. And everything you made him suffer was for nothing. And then Satan says, you didn't touch him. You touched everything around him. If you touch him, look at how he'll blaspheme. And God says, he's all yours. Just don't kill him. Keep him alive.
But Hashem does know that he's going to wind up blaspheming.
That you're saying. It doesn't say that here.
So Hashem doesn't know what's going to happen?
That's a good question. That's a separate question. We didn't discuss that yet. But in the book of Eeyore, it didn't say this way or that way.
Okay.
In the book of Eeyore, all it said was God said, he's in your hands, just don't let him die.
I'm understanding why he's supposed to, the Gemara says that when a person's in a time of pain, that you're not supposed to take what he's necessarily saying. So there's different levels of emunah. I don't understand that if a person's suffering from such immense things, that how he's still supposed to have emunah, in a theoretical sense, it makes sense, but what you're saying, the Gemara,
those are levels of greatness. On the one hand, we don't hold it against the person when he's under immense pain if he says certain things or does certain things. On the other hand, there are levels. The Gemara says Eeyore suffered and blasphemed, Aaron suffered and was silenced, David suffered and gave praise. Those are levels. Not everyone is on King David's level where he could sing praise as he's suffering. Different people suffer differently, and we don't necessarily hold it against the person. We all strive and try to reach that level.
I thought it was like delineation of generations, meaning that each generation, so by the time we get to David HaMelech, Aaron was already, many generations before, so isn't the level of greatness going down? So they're saying, isn't that also attributed to their level of their connection to Hashem and such? So I don't understand why when you get down to David HaMelech that his reaction when it comes to a bad situation is on a higher level than on.
So that's a good question, but not for now. Let's move forward. Okay. Guys, back to Eeyore, 38th chapter. You guys have it?